Welcome to the 38th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida, and I'm also an endurance athlete. I'm currently training for 2 marathons and an Ironman in the fall. Actually, it's an iron distance race. It's not truly branded Ironman. It's the Beach to Battleship, so I'm very excited to try this venue up in Wilmington, North Carolina. Today's episode features Nelson Campbell. Nelson is the director of the upcoming documentary that has screenings released, but the official release was July the 4th, 2015. The name of the movie is Plant Pure Nation. He, along with producers John Corey and writer Lee Fulkerson, follow the transition of ordinary groups of people in rural North Carolina into plant-based eating. We all know there's much scientific evidence that eating a whole foods plant-based diet can strongly decrease your risk for coronary artery disease and certainly reverse coronary artery disease, diabetes, hypertension, and decrease your risk of cancer. But there are a lot of people out there that are unaware. And this movie is to not only document that you can go into a rural town and see success by showing how people can lower their blood pressure, their cholesterol, and their diabetes in a short period of time, but how the education motivates people to continue to do so. Nelson envisions the development of plant pure pods throughout the country, which would be Plant Nation supported groups through a foundation so that educational seminars, documentaries, the initiation of groups to have potlucks and so forth can be started. I'm very excited because essentially we're already doing that here in Port Charlotte. Our meetup group has been very successful. We have a variety of speakers that come once a month. We're doing dinners at restaurants. We're going to start a potluck in various people's home. I think it's extremely important for people to experience cooking and how easy it can be and the different tastes and let people have hands-on experience. In my class, I started cooking for the first time. Before, I've been bringing dishes in, but this Wednesday, I actually brought all the ingredients and I had my Instapot and an electric wok and brought all the vegetables in that were already cleaned in. I cooked while we talked about the nutrient content of the foods and how to shop for them and how to be organized. So it went real well. Everybody liked the food. I made some quinoa in the Instapot, and then I did onions, garlic, mushrooms, peppers, fresh tomatoes, and kale in the wok, and add a little Wickles, which is a hot pepper combo to it, and a little pepper, and we served it up, and people enjoyed it. It was fun to find out that a patient was also there getting an echo at the same time, and he smelled the food and had his wife call it for our next session. So that says something, that people like the smell of the food, and it tasted good. And it provides a very interactive, light environment, so that's really good. So I think we're going to start some of those type potlucks in the meetup group as well. I continue to do community lectures, and more and more people are catching on. More and more physicians are becoming interested. Again, there's a group in Fort Myers that's also starting to do similar things. So it's very exciting around here that the word is getting out, and people just need to realize that it's not that hard, and the benefits are tremendous. On the endurance training thing, it's 90 degrees in Florida and high humidity, but we're getting our training in with sometimes a little sunshine or a little sunburn and a little dehydration, but it's certainly beats wading through snow and what have you, so we're still enjoying it. On the gardening front, I have okra. I have okra leaves, not okra, so I keep watching for my okra to grow, but my trees are doing well, and so basically are waiting here in Florida for the end of summer to start planting and get things going again when it's less hot outside. So without further ado, I think we'll cut to the interview, and then we can talk a little bit more after it. So Here's my interview with Nelson Campbell. By the way, he is the son of T. Colin Campbell, the educator and writer of the China Study and Whole. Welcome, Nelson Campbell. Nelson is the son of the renowned T. Colin Campbell, but most recently, you are the author and producer and director and, you know, whole ball of wax as far as, you know, grassroots promoting the new documentary Plant Pure Nation. And I saw the initial screening in St. Petersburg, Florida, and it was exciting. And, you know, it's so, I guess, heartwarming, exciting, motivating. Your whole family was there. The whole crew was there. There was such a good response. It just puts so much power behind, you know, how this message is such an important message to spread, and, you know, the value of eating plants and how we as a nation need to take control of our own health, because between marketing and the pharmaceutical industry, you know, it's so confusing out there for people. So this is just a fantastic documentary to spread the word about plant, whole foods, plant-based eating. So welcome, Nelson.
Well, it's good to be here, Jamie. Yeah, we're very excited about the film, and we were very fortunate to have a really strong team working on this. And as you mentioned, I'm the director and I'm a writer of the film, but I could not have done it without the help of John Corey, who's actually our producer, and he produced Forks Over Knives. I definitely don't want to take all the credit for the film. It's, we had a wonderful team working on this.
You so John Corey was involved in the Forks Over Knives. How did you, you know, going into the Plant Pure Nation for a while, how did you initially meet the Kentucky representative?
My father gave a talk on the floor of the House of Representatives. He had been invited to come by Representative Tom Reiner, who had read his book, The China Study. And Tom and his wife, Claudia, had gotten great health benefit. And, of course, Kentucky has, you know, pretty terrible health statistics, so he wanted to invite my father to come and speak, and also Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. And so they spoke, and they got a very enthusiastic response, and my dad was even a bit taken aback by the enthusiasm. And so he told me about it, and that's when I picked up the phone and started talking with Representative Reiner, because at the time I had been thinking about a project in North Carolina, a sort of a pilot project to demonstrate to the state government the efficacy of a plant-based diet. And I sensed an opportunity to do that in Kentucky. So that's why I picked up the phone and called Tom.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, you know. I mean, I guess things happen for a reason, you know. I mean, and it really mm-hmm. spurred things on. I also imagine it must have been, you know, very disappointing. I experience it in my office when people are shaking their head, yes, yes, and you think you're getting through, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I guess they go home and talk to it's like, well, no.
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and I don't want to give away too much of the story, but I'll say that we had a kind of a rough experience, and we document that in the initial part of the film in the legislature there. And, you know, I saw firsthand the influence of money in the political process. And, you know, you hear about this all the time, but it's one thing to hear it, and it's another thing to see it or to experience it and be defeated by it. And it just wasn't a very pleasant experience. And so it was at that point that I decided, you know, there's potentially a story that we can create here that would help to raise awareness of this problem. And it was at that point that I decided to make a film.
You know, I think the, you know, the pure part of the title
says so much because, if for the listeners out there that haven't read the China study or Whole or seen any of your father's interviews, I mean, you know, he is the essence of pure. He went about looking to find a way and to study protein, and completely the results were completely opposite of what he was looking to find or what his hypothesis was. Yet he was able to say, well, wait a minute, I'm on to something here and I can help people. And he's really dedicated his career to helping people and spread the word and go against such a tremendous wall of backed, you know, whatever kind of money backed science. So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, your whole family, it's, you know, you have, you know, you're everybody's been involved. So I think that speaks so highly to not only your upbringing, but, you know, again, back to the eye opening that, you know, you see, you know, we all learn and then we need to take what we learn and apply it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my father was a great role model because as I was growing up over the years, you know, I saw his struggles firsthand. And, you know, for many years, he was the only one in science who really was publicly advocating a plant-based diet, and maybe advocating is the wrong word. He was acknowledging the science behind the plant-based diet. And he paid a price for that. You know, his fellow scientists went after him and others went after him, and he struggled for many years. And at a certain point, of course, he decided to just take his case directly to the people. And that's when he wrote, co-wrote with my brother Tom, the book, The China Study. And of course, that's when this idea really started to get some traction after that book came out. But yeah, he's been a great role model for us and others for sure because of his integrity and courage.
So just for the listener, I would guess I have met your sister, Leanne, and she said she was in starting college when your home kitchen started to change. You know, she's pretty funny. She said that things started to gradually disappear. Meat went away and, you know, different things went away and, you know, it was just pretty subtle. Where were you in your life when these home changes started, and how did it affect your, your life? I assume that you're probably out on your own by that point.
Yeah, well, first, the family, we always ate together. We had a big family and we'd all sit around a big round table, and every night, you know, we had interesting conversation, and my parents were real good about, you know, encouraging that. And quite often, you know, my dad would talk about his science and, you know, what he was discovering. And so, we had a pretty good understanding and awareness of that. So when we started to make these changes, we really didn't question them. Plus, we had such a big family that you didn't question a whole lot when the food came out anyways. Uh-huh. or you would be left with not enough on your plate. At any rate, it was pretty natural. The change came pretty naturally to us, and it was a gradual change. My mom started at first just reducing the meat, and then it became a garnish, and then pretty soon it disappeared altogether, along with the dairy. And this all started to happen when I was in my, I guess, mid to late teens. So just before, you know, when I was in high school, just before I went to college.
So that, you're well ahead of the curve for most Americans. As far as, I think that eating together as a family is huge. That's something that my family, we kind of live as an extended family, my parents and my daughter, and we ate dinner together. And when we changed all as a group as well, I think that makes it so much easier to have the support of a whole family.
Yeah, people underestimate the importance of coming together as a family at least once a day like that. And of course, dinner is a perfect time to do that, to sit around and enjoy a meal together and have some good conversation. I think it's really important to carve that time out of your day for your family. I think a lot of us have gotten away from that, and that's unfortunate.
The projects, you know, that are outlined in the movie, you know, you went to, you didn't pick yuppie cities where it would be easy to get a bunch of already vegetarians to follow it. You went to challenging areas in rural places in North Carolina, and, you know, you document their experience. You know, the movie documents it quite well, but tell me some little things about the side, you know, when you first went to town, you know, what did you experience, you know, knocking on the, hey, I'm here to, you know, try this plant-based way of eating. You know, what'd you run into?
Well, first of all, I ran into my own fear and insecurity. We had just been to Kentucky, and we had done some filming for the first part of the film, which is the part of the story that involves Representative Tom Ryner and my dad speaking on the floor and then some legislation that we subsequently tried to pass. And so we had been to Kentucky to film that, and at this point, also I had some investment to do the film from others. And so I knew that the next part of the film was going to be, okay, now I'm going to take us back to North Carolina, and I'm going to try to do in North Carolina what we've tried to do in Kentucky. And I was going to do this in this small rural town in North Carolina. So I kind of knew in my head, you know, where I wanted this to go, but I really didn't know how to make it happen. And so I live in the area, so I did have some, you know, a few connections, but I just remember sitting in my office and just thinking to myself, what in the world have I gotten myself into, and how am I going to get this started? And so, you know, I started thinking about how to do it, you know, coming up with different ideas. Finally, I just literally decided, you know, I just have to go around town and just start talking to anyone who will listen. And so that's kind of what I did. I just went down to the local coffee shop. I knew the manager of the coffee shop there, and just started talking about these ideas of plant-based nutrition and what I was trying to do. And then she introduced me to her mom, who I had seen around before but didn't know. And she's really well connected in the community. And so she gave me some more leads, and I just kept kind of going from one person to the next and just trying to explain to people this idea. And of course, no one had heard of my father. No one had read the China study. No one had any knowledge whatsoever of any of this. So I know that some people might have looked at me as a bit odd, but, you know, I just tried to use my passion and sincerity and trying to convince people to consider this. And, you know, I was finally able to scrape up an initial group, and that's all I needed, because once, you know, we did the first intervention, the results then spoke for the idea. And I was able to leverage that to do more in the community. So, but yeah, it was kind of a scary thing in the beginning, just, you know, not knowing what to do and if I could pull it off.
I find in my, you know, little, I have a wellness or a plant-based nutrition class that I do in my office. And this is going to be, I do a 6-week session. We meet for an hour every other week for 6 weeks. And they're all, for the most part, they're all my cardiac patients, but there's a little bit of word of mouth, so I get some people that aren't my patient. But I find that it's the cooking part that people have gotten so much away from. You know, people go out to dinner, get takeout, get prepared foods, you know, buy things that are already prepared foods. And the big hurdle seems to be getting people back into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I started talking about menus. I've advanced to bringing stuff in for people to try. And now I'm going to actually be cooking for my class with them there, you know, just to show them. We went to the grocery store and walked around the grocery store, you know, looking at things and, you know, reading why you should stay away from certain things. But your idea, I presume, if you provided the meals for the people, And was that idea to, one, it kind of makes it a good jump start, but if you get people to taste what is good and what is real, then they'll desire it and be more likely to cook it. Is that your theory?
Yes. We in the 10-day program that we offered, there were three important elements. One is the pre and post biometric testing. That's very important so that people can actually see the health improvement reflected in their numbers. It makes it more real. The second thing is providing some of that front-end education. And we found that actually we didn't have to go too deep into that. In fact, we showed forks over knives and had some discussion after that. And that's really all it took for that piece. And then the third piece that's really, really critical and perhaps the most impactful is providing people with food, making it easy so that they can actually do this and live on this live this lifestyle for 10 days. Because once they begin to experience the benefits of this, they feel better. They're losing weight. Things are happening that weren't happening before. That's the most impactful part of this. And, you know, when you combine that with the front end education and the pre and post biometric testing, you have something that's really potentially for a lot of people a life changing experience. But the key, though, is what happens after that. We found that over 90% of all of the people who went through that process at the end wanted to stay plant-based. But we also discovered from the time that we did those jumpstarts to the present day, that some of the people that went through that have fallen off the wagon. And it's because there's not that continuing support, you know. There's not an established community that people can be a part of, where they can connect with other people who are doing this. There aren't a lot of food options in a town like Mevin. There's just not a lot of support. You know, that they go to work and no one at work is doing this, and people aren't really cooking at home anymore. So you know, they need those prepared food options. And so it's difficult, and that's what we're trying to do on the heels of our film release, is to launch a nationwide strategy where we can foster groups in towns and cities everywhere. And we're calling each of these groups a Plant Pure Pod. But the idea is to create the support that people require to continue this lifestyle. And I think that piece is really important.
Yeah, I think that is critical, because when you provided the food, did you encourage the whole family to become involved, or was it, you know, the person that you did the biometrics on?
We always encouraged as much of the family as possible, because we found that if you have one person who's doing this and they go home to a spouse who's eating a cheeseburger at night, you know, it makes it 10 times more difficult. So it's always best if you can get the family involved.
Yeah, I try to. We kind of do two for the price of one here in the educational class, and I encourage people to bring their spouse or sister or somebody else that they might, you know, friend that they might eat with, so mm-hmm. that, you know, at least there's a buddy system of some sort. And that, you know, that tends to help. You know, one of my biggest success stories was a patient that I've taken care of for probably 12 years. He and his wife, they both had bypasses. She eventually passed away. He kind of, you know, really was, didn't want to take medicines, didn't really want to change anything, was a really happy guy, but got sick again, you know, after the bypasses, grafts, you know, issues. But he had a really big support system with his daughters, and they decided to come down and help him, and they all got on board. They all watched Forks Over Knives. They all got copies of the, you know, the Prevent Reverse Heart Disease book and the cookbook. His daughters came with him to the class, and, you know, lo and behold, he, you know, lost weight, but more importantly, normalized his cholesterol, normalized his blood pressure, and his chest pain completely went away. And his whole family, mm-hmm. they now that, you know, they're in Indiana, they're spread out, Indiana, Florida, Ohio, but they all call each other. They have, you know, Fitbits that they track their activity. They share recipes from plant-based cookbooks, and it's, you know, it's just been huge, but it's that support.
Yeah, and you just said something that reminded me that I wanted to make a note of, talking about the recipes from the plant-based cookbooks. That's actually a really important part of the process, as you know from your experience, is showing people that they can eat plant-based and enjoy their food every bit as much or even more than what they enjoyed food before. There's so much you can do with plant-based ingredients. And, you know, I know that having lived this lifestyle for a long time now, and my wife, Kim, also, you know, she's really become quite a chef and has been doing this for 25 years. And she wrote a companion book to our film, it's the Plant Pure Nation Cookbook. And she's figured out, you know, along with many others out there in the field, of course, how to produce plant-based meals that are familiar to traditional eaters, that have some of the flavors and textures that they're used to. And I think that's just a really, really important part of the equation, is coming up with the right food for people.
Yes. You know, we always go back to, you know, your go-to meals. And, you know, when people come to the office, I try to, it's like, well, you know, what's your favorite food? And then I try to make that plant-based. You know, it's hard if they say steak, you know, but it's, you know, it's like usually I say, okay, you know, what, or I don't like vegetables. Well, you must like some, because everybody eats some vegetables, you know, so start there and work your way around. Or I tell them what I had to eat last night, because immediately people panic and they think it's going to be a diet of celery, carrots, and lettuce. And, you know, so it's like, well, I had, you know, cabbage rolls last night, you know, I just didn't have hamburger in them. We had beans in them. You really can't tell the difference. Or we had burritos, or we still have a pizza night, but we just don't have any cheese or meat on the pizza. And, or we have chili, but it just didn't have any hamburgers in it. Or you have potato, you know, people, things that people eat. It's like, well, it's not so bad. But it's, people, you know, and especially in the class, they just don't know what to cook.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, we found the same thing.
You know, it's easier when you have, you know, it's almost like maybe we should supply a menu like a drive-in, you know, so you have, because, you know, it's funny because people think that there aren't options when you take meat away. But if you look at the drive-in window of most fast food restaurants, it's a pretty limited menu and it never changes for years on years on years on end. And people don't complain. You know, so, you know, maybe we should create a plant pure menu, you know, a billboard that here's your menu items, and, you know, so you just choose one of those. And, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes I think we do make it too complicated. Like you say, because there are, you know, people, you know, you get a real chef involved, and you get real, you know, these fancy recipes, and people are intimidated.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jamie. And actually, we've been thinking a lot about strategy that we can implement down the road to provide more food options to the community that we're trying to organize through these plant pure pods. And we had a lot of ideas, you know, regarding restaurants and different things. We also have our own food line that will be part of our 10-day jumpstart program that we'll make available online to anyone who wants to try a plant-based diet. And I think one of the things that we're most excited about, by the way, with regard to this strategy that we're rolling out in the heels of the film release, is the idea of doing this in a way that becomes really a grassroots movement. We're not just trying to provide a program. We're trying to get the information out there, to organize people, and most of all, to create a financial engine to power this. My background, you know, I've been a entrepreneur for all my life, and I've been really focused on trying to build socially conscious businesses. And we've developed a unique kind of a structure that includes a strong nonprofit component that's in many ways kind of like the Noonan's Own model. And what we're going to be trying to do is to generate, as we provide this support to these communities that we're establishing, is to generate revenues and profits that can go back into a nonprofit foundation that we've set up that will be fostering initiatives that will help to transform, you know, all of this activity into more of an organized movement. I think that's what's required. If we're going to remake the world around this idea, we have to start a movement. We have to start a grassroots movement, and that requires information, organization, and financial support. And so we're trying to address all of those components in the strategy that we're rolling out on the heels of our film release.
Have you had any pushback from the corporate world at all?
Well, we're just getting started here, so today we've kind of played the film to the faithful, if you will. I'm sure that we will get pushback, and that's why it's important that this be something that really involves everyone. We've put in place here a strategy that's not reliant on any one of us or small group of us. We're putting in place a strategy that will engage millions of people in solving this healthcare crisis that we have, which, by the way, is connected to a lot of other things like the environment and the fiscal health of our government and our economy, so many other interconnections. But we have a strategy to really engage millions of people. So, if those of us who've started this wanted to move off to a remote island someplace and just wash our hands of it, which we're not going to do, it wouldn't matter because there's a system in place for engaging millions of people everywhere and remaking society around this idea. This is how we have to overcome the influence of money. The only way to overcome that is through people and engaging as many people as possible.
Yeah, it's very interesting and exciting, yet a little scary in some sorts. With the pushback that the for profit. There's so much money in being unhealthy. There's so much, there's so much marketing and twisting. I often think, even the gluten-free movement, marketing gets a hold of that, which in some people is a sensitivity, how much, it's very debatable, but marketing, and corporations got a hold of that, and now they've made, all kinds of junk food that are gluten-free. They started with the fat-free market. They started making, fat-free Oreos and fat-free this and Snackwells, and, the public is so confused. Keeping it pure, I guess, is maybe the biggest challenge.
Well, here's what I would say to all of those economic interests out there who feel threatened by this. This idea, it's really, because there's so much science behind it now, it's really an unstoppable idea. There's no one anywhere who can now put a lid on this idea. It's out there. It's only going to become known to more people. It's impossible to stop. It's a fact of nature, like the sun rising and setting, the blue in the sky and the green in the grass. It's not going to change. It's a powerful fact of nature. And so what people have to do in industry is to figure out how can they benefit from this. And I've been an entrepreneur, and I know that a lot of big companies don't like to change. But the fact of the matter is that all of the change in our economy, all of the opportunity in our economy always comes from change. You know, the world would be a pretty boring place if nothing ever changed. You know, we'd probably be just have, you know, we'd all be served by one big industrial monopoly. And to some extent, we're evolving in that direction. But change is not bad. Change creates opportunity. People are still going to have to eat. In fact, when you eat a plant-based diet, you actually eat more in terms of volume and bulk. You actually, most people actually end up eating a little bit more. So there's all kinds of opportunity in the food industry for companies to transition and take advantage of this new information. And, of course, in our film, we make an argument about farming. There's also a tremendous farming opportunity here. You know, even pharmaceutical companies, there's things that they can do. I think that the whole stem cell revolution, which is just beginning, is an area that is ripe for opportunity. I talked to my father about that. Very excited about that because stem cells, really, it's utilizing the body's own wisdom to heal itself. You know, so that's an area that's rich for opportunity. So the world is full of opportunity. People shouldn't feel so threatened by change. And by the way, this is a change that no one can stop anyways. And it has nothing to do with my father. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with this film. The information is already out there.
Yeah, it's exciting times. I know that, mm-hmm. you know, it has revitalized my practice because for the first time, I'm able to take people off their medications and they're actually feeling better. And, you know, nobody wants to be on medications. You know, nobody mm-hmm. wants to be overweight. And when they, you know, when they start to get positive, you know, nobody wants their joints to ache. And it's such a simple fix, yet it's such an effective fix that, you know, it's really fun to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already launched. July the 4th was the official launch of the movie.
Yes, and we started launching in theaters. It's going to be an extended launch that runs into the fall. We've decided not to sell distribution rights to the film. We've had quite a bit of distributor interest, but we've decided not to do that so that we can control the way it's launched and how it's utilized later. So we'll be doing this over a period of several months, but we're very excited by the initial response.
What cities launched so far?
Well, we just had some showings in Columbus and Los Angeles, and we've got a slew of others coming up. I don't have the list in front of me, but mm-hmm. We've got quite a few others coming up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
What about the response to North Carolina?
We did a little cross country tour where we before our premiere in LA in June we did a tour in April and May where we screened our rough cut to groups around the country, and the first place that we went was North Carolina, so we had our first showing in Chapel Hill, and we got a great response. They sold out the first screen. And they had to open up a second, which was also sold out. They had to open up a third. And so we had a great response. And we'll be coming back here later in the summer to show the finished product in the Raleigh-Durham area.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, there's just such a great opportunity. I'm looking forward to the release down here July 23rd. And,
it will look different than what we showed in St. Petersburg. Again, you know, we were showing a rough cut of the film, and we did that. It's very unusual in the film industry to do what we did, but we did that to generate grassroots interest and also to get feedback for further editing of the film. So we were literally editing the film on the fly and didn't get that finished until the second week of June. So definitely worth your while to come see the film again because it's quite different.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, we're we're generating a lot of interest in this area. So I guess the hope is that we can get more than one, you know, we can have to, we will need more than one showing here as well. That would be great.
Yes, it would be. Mm-hmm.
So, well, fantastic. You know, how's the family holding up doing all this traveling? I mean, it's a, your dad went from researcher to movie star.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult. We were all just running from one hotel to the next and driving and going to hotels and having late nights. So it wasn't easy, but we all survived it. And also we were all inspired by it because we met so many wonderful people along the way who are doing courageous and wonderful things. And it just underscores why it is that we need a strategy to engage everyone. You know, we need to take a humble approach here. It's not about any one of us or small group of us. It's about all of us working together because everyone has something to contribute.
When do you anticipate the food line starting to launch?
We're going to be going into production with that in July, and that should be good to go in August, along with our 10-day jumpstart program. So we want people who have watched the film all across the country to be able to have the opportunity to do this themselves. And so we'll have all of the components of the jumpstart, including our food and the testing, available online for people.
Wow. Great. Well, look forward to supporting your efforts, and can't wait to see how things play out.
Well, thanks for the interview here, Jamie, and also thanks again for your help in getting the word out about our film showing in your area. We couldn't do this without people like you. We're a small team, and all the people who've come forward to help us out just have been a blessing, and we couldn't do any of this without people like you, so we appreciate your help.
Well, I appreciate the efforts you and your family have done to help people in general, so it's very mutual. So thank you very much for your time.
All right. You have a great day, Jamie. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So please check out Fandango or the Plant Pure Nation trailer, plantpurenation.com, and find out when the movie's opening near you, and please go to it. Again, in my local area, it's in Fort Myers at the Bell Tower, which is off of Daniels Road. At the cinemas there, the showing will be at 8 o'clock, so I'll certainly be there, and we're hoping to get as many people as we can to go. I hope the theaters have full of people I know from my area. That'll make me feel good that we're successful at getting the word out. While I was editing this, I was reading emails, and a new warning came up that supports old warnings about non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, things like ibuprofen, Celebrex, previously Vioxx has been pulled from the market, Naprosyn, Indomethacin. Those are all non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. While they're great for relieving joint pain and muscle pain and headaches, they are risky for your heart. They have been associated with heart attacks and worse outcomes after heart attacks. So I would encourage you, especially higher doses, so I would encourage you to avoid those medications if at all possible. I know a lot of people have joint aches. People in the endurance world, it's become very popular to, pop a few ibuprofen, and it's thought to be kind of like candy to let people go further. But they're extremely, extremely dangerous, especially if you add with, other potential risk that people may have. But these new warnings have been associated with people that don't really have any medical problems having issues with the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. As far as anti-inflammatories out there. Turmeric, I've been using in my smoothies in the morning. I get fresh turmeric root and keep it in the freezer and grind a little bit, like about a tablespoon, into my smoothies, put some into my vegetables at night when I cook them. If you add turmeric and pepper, it increases the bioavailability of the turmeric. So it's very good as far as being an anti-inflammatory. Again, when you're eating a plant-based diet and eliminating dairy, you're decreasing a lot of inflammation in your body and a lot of joint discomfort. So you're ahead of the ball game already. You know, other things, ginger is also a good thing to add to your food to decrease inflammation with people that may have some muscle aches and injuries. So, you know, look into those alternative sources. You know, being hydrated certainly helps too. You know, there's a chronic dehydration, so make sure you're drinking, especially in the summertime, plenty of water to keep yourself hydrated. And, you know, I'll put a warning out there to marathoners and triathletes. You know, these non-steroidal, especially when you're doing an event, can be extremely dangerous. They're associated with hyponatremia, or basically you retain water, to your water to salt ratio gets messed up, so your actual blood sodium level goes down. It's not because you're salt depleted, but it's because you lose the ratio of, you retain more water than salt. And so you become, you know, a low serum sodium level. It can be very dangerous. It's been associated with deaths during marathons and triathlons. If you take non-steroidals, that increases your risk of that, as well as overhydrating during an event. And the other thing is, the risk of GI bleeding with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories is extremely high in endurance events. So, you know, I would advise you, you know, walk before you take one of those things to allow yourself to go on. If you have to take a Tylenol, you know, I don't think 500 milligrams of Tylenol would be a horrible thing to take, but don't be popping pain medications just to be able to finish an event, and especially non-steroidals in this heat. So anyway, that's my plug as a doctor for this evening. If you have any questions for me, you can reach me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. My new website is coming along, and I hope to get that up in the next week or two, so you can access all the podcasts as well as my blog and some information for the practice. So remember, Plant Pure Nation, look for it, go see it. And until next time, eat your plants, run long, and keep hydrated. Thank you.